Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about what to do if you're data afraid.
This is a good one, and this comes up often. This is so important to what we do.
What's your definition of being afraid of data?
Spreadsheets make you panic. And if it's more than four columns and, 20 lines, you're like, oh no, that's too much.
It's too much to take.
I don't know what to do with this. And we can help you.
I mean, there's stuff that I'm like, I had that reaction too still.
Yeah.
There's
like
stuff
girls.
That we all.
Like me.
Yeah. Well, that'll never stop. But, I mean, there's stuff in everybody's life that, you look at it, it's like, oh, my gosh.
You know what it is? Like, for some people, it's opening the hood of a car.
Yeah.
How about that? They go, oh. But other people
what do I do with this?
All right. Okay. Got that. Done. Oh, see the problem. It's just like that with data. How's that?
Yeah.
Data is like opening the hood of a car.
Or school.
So, thank you.
Well said, Jill.
Thanks.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free, and I have to preface this.
Ready?
This is a long question.
Thank you for telling me.
And may I read the first part and then have you read the second part?
Sure.
Michael says, or asks, I have a deal consisting of 75 acres within the city limits, adjoining developments on three sides, and what I will sell as the next piece of land in the path of progress primed for development. When sending over the contract, the seller's nephew is an out-of-state real estate agent in true real estate agent form, was ready to jump in head first and fill the contract out with juicy contingencies and terms. Go ahead, Joe.
Question. He wants to convey the property via quitclaim deed. When I asked why, he said it is typical that a seller will convey via quitclaim deed because this limits the seller's liability. He also mentioned that I will get a marketable and insuratable title. While it's obvious the seller's liability is minimized, can a quitclaim deed be conveyed with a title policy? I will not spend $80,000 on a property without getting the title examined, ensuring that I will have clear and marketable title. Is it common for a seller of land to minimize his liability through a quitclaim deed and possible for the buyer to purchase title insurance post-transaction, knowing the title is insurable via title examination pre-transaction? If this is possible, sounds like the insurance company would be coming directly out of pocket if there ever was an issue once insured. I get where he's coming from. On all accounts, I want to make sure I purchase a marketable piece of land that can be developed once I sell. They don't seem like they're hiding anything, but this has raised a red flag. Interested to hear any and all input. Go. You've had time to think about this a little bit, haven't you? Because you read it.
Oh, this is a massive red flag for me, and I wouldn't do the deal.
I don't know why.
There's a quitclaim. We've heard us say, we're not talking out of both sides of our mouths. You've heard us say many, many times, don't worry about a quitclaim deed. And that's true for $4,000, $2,000, $1,000 property. This property is clearly going to be developed. And nobody will lend against it. No one. Whoever buys this from you is going to seek out some type of financing to develop it.
Right.
At least you hope so, because you can mark it up.
Right.
It needs title insurance, and it needs to go through escrow, and it needs to go through the
AAA
proper channels. In fact, for a developable piece of property, if that's this, in fact, what this is, I would seek out a commercial real estate, a commercial title company, a company that you could, it's First American or any of the large companies have commercial divisions, and that's what this is for, because they look for different stuff. This is not to be messed around with.
Why are they ramming it down your throat?
A quitclaim deed generally has to do with one of two things: interrelated party transactions, like I sell a property or deed a property to Jill, or it has to do with property that was purchased from in a tax auction or something like that, maybe two owners ago. And look, this deal is real. All the deals are real. This deal has the potential. I mean, 75 acres is a big piece of property in an urban area. I would do nothing but go through title and everything else. And I'm guessing that the nephew is brand new, and he's fresh out of silly little real estate school, and he's getting all academic about different ways to title property. And
that could be
this. What should happen is this: sellers agreed on this $80,000 price. You're the buyer. Theoretically, have the 80 grand. There's no debt. I mean, there's no. You're not going to get a lender. You go straight to escrow, put $5,000 down as earnest money deposit, and the escrow agent takes it from there. And nobody talks about the type of deed that's going to be conveyed. Right. What comes out of the title plan's going to find, that'll show how to convey the property, and trust me, it's going to be a warranty deed. Mm-hmm. Or whatever state it's in, that version of a warranty deed. You don't take anything less for a development piece of property.
Can
I be more clear?
Nope.
Do I sound like I'm a little bit angry?
Yep.
I am a little angry.
Good.
This is the silly real estate agent crap.
Thank you.
Today's topic, what do you do if you're data afraid? This is the meat of the show.
You want to hear my steps?
I do. I would love to hear it. Okay. I know you wrote a bunch of stuff down.
All right. So what do you do if you're data afraid? So you're all excited. You're here. You get into RealQuest Pro and you're ready to do a mailer. You download, you pick a county. You did everything. You picked the zoning. You got the size. You got everything. And the computer virtually throws up. It looks like throw up to you in a CSV file. And you're like, oh no.
Looks like throw up to you.
It looks like throw up to
you.
It's
like dirty diapers.
And you're like, what is that? Because it's like, oh no. Because I did what I was supposed to do. I downloaded 2,000 records because I'm going to scrub it to like 1,500 records. So I have 2,000 lines down. Oh, and wait, now I have 300. Let me go this way. 300 lines over. Holy cow. I'm so happy I just got this. Now I'm at that. What the heck? Here's what we do. Okay, number one, breathe. That's really not number one, but what I want you to do first, take time. Insert a column up. I'm going to get real technical here and make this real easy for everybody.
Me.
Okay, good. You can just rest your pretty little head over here.
I'm going to get over my anger.
Here, rest your head right
answering
here.
Answering that seven.
Rest your pretty little head right here.
I've tried that and it clanks headphones, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. So I want you to insert, I know you have already 2,000 rows. I want one more row. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to insert one row at the very top of your spreadsheet, please. And in that row, I want you to calmly and methodically take the time to look up and understand what each column is and write it in your words.
Like, wow.
Oh.
That's brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you. So you're going to go, oh, well, obviously that's property owner's last name. Put that in there, last name. Whatever it is. And then I want you to go all the way down. And you might go, what the heck is RU-4? RU-4. Spend some time. Oh, shoot, that's zoning. I forgot about that. All right. Rural undeveloped 4.
Rural undeveloped 4,000 feet.
Right. Thank you. Put that in there.
It means you have to have a 4,000 square foot lot to put up a structure.
Thank you. Thank you. And when you get that much information, put it in there too, so you have it all. So you can cram all kinds of data in each of the cells above your thing and not monk up your sheet. So I want you to take your time to do all that stuff. As you're going through this, you're going to find duplicate columns. For different reasons, the way it's pulled in, it might have the last name of the seller twice. It might have the address of the seller twice. It might have the property shown twice. So they'll go ahead. When you're going through this,
there's duplicate data?
There's sometimes duplicate columns that might be in there twice. Like sometimes it'll say, you'll have owner last name, owner first name, and it'll show owner record, last name and first name together. And then one more time it'll show owner record and how they took title, like as joint tenants. So it might have a couple different ways. So you'll learn when you go along. You're going to go, oh, I remember this. When I'm doing my mail merge, I only need this version of the name. I don't need the way they took the title. I don't need this, so I could hide those columns.
She's saying make the data manageable for how you need it.
Exactly. So what I want you to do is, so pay attention to that and be ready to move those columns, hide those columns. maybe even delete those columns. Yeah. And what I exactly. always do too, by the way, when you download this spreadsheet of all this data, this is like 101 that I, you have to learn this stuff. Save that untouched.
Version 1, version 2, version 3.
Exactly. Now start messing with it.
In case you screw stuff up, you can go back to the previous version.
Exactly. Like, oh no, I need to put that back in. You can go move it back in. So like he's right. So save your different things as you're going along. Don't have one and like, oh no, I needed that. Now I can't get it back. What do I do? Make it easy on yourself. So, all right. So notice it, and you'll, as you're going along, you'll know after a couple of times, you're going to go, I know I don't need that column. I don't need that column. Like one of the columns that, like say you download for a bunch of land and it pulls up, you know, some attribute like swimming pool. I don't know. You don't need that. Delete that column. Square footage of the property. They're all blank. Delete that column. You know, you'll see that. Then I want you to take all your columns and put them kind of in sections, and put them in sections that make sense to you. This is all about the property. I'm going to put the legal next to the APN. It didn't come that way, but I need it in that format. And then you also need to think about doing your mail merge. You need to be also looking at what you want your end product to look like. So you want to think about, as you're organizing the columns, first you define them.
Well, hold on a second, Joe, respectfully. Mm-hmm. This is, what if you're, not how to do it. This isn't how to do a mail merge. This is
just to understand the data.
What if the whole show is about, what if you're just, this freaks you out?
Okay. All right, let me back up. Don't even think about the mail merge. This totally freaks you out. Well, one, look at your columns. Two, delete the duplicates so you're not looking at extra data you don't need. Three, practice. Yeah. I mean, you really have to do that. And do it in chunks. Maybe I only need to look at 100 at a time.
May I?
Well, okay, I was going to get all else fail. Can I throw my whole list in here?
Go ahead, yeah.
All right. Then my final thing is, if all else fails, because let's be honest. Yeah,
I actually would lead with that.
Okay, so here's my, if all else fails, like I kind of alluded to at the beginning of the show, you open up the car hood and you're like, oh, there's no way. And then you went to mechanic school and you still open the hood going, oh, there's no way. You know what?
I'm
clearly not going to do my own oil changes ever. I'm going to close the hood. I'm driving to Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Now we got it. So be ready for that. And that's okay. You might have to bring in a partner or somebody who loves data, who's good at data. Yep. They don't even have to understand what you do necessarily, but data sings to them. You can just say, hey, here's a data set. I need it condensed to this so I can do that with it. Can you do that and send it back to me? Sure. Done.
If you're afraid of data, the first thing, you take a couple steps back and ask yourself if it's worth it. And I'm really serious about this, because there's, like, for instance, I will never learn to play the guitar. And so I'll stare at a guitar. I go to music stores.
Like, you like to go look at them.
I do. Because I'm enamored with people that can play the guitar and musical instruments and stuff. It's just never going to happen for me.
Right.
And it's not in my wheelhouse. So if this is your guitar, you know, just move on to something else. Why beat yourself up over it?
It's true.
Or find another way. Do bandit signs or something. You know, it won't be as effective and it's not as technical, but maybe you can make it work. I don't know. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
We just don't choose to do it that way. So my step one is take a couple of steps back and ask yourself if it's truly worth it. What is this all about for you? If the answer is, I'm still afraid of data, but you know, but I do see how this can be ridiculously valuable, then you're going to have to get, you know, I'm the kind of person, when I went to school, I had to study twice as hard as everybody to get the same grades. And that's just, and I wanted to do that. I wanted to get out of college and go do something. So I made it a priority, made the time, got organized, and got out a calendar. As crazy as it sounds, and just stuck
put
to it.
Time
it's
in.
Still what I do. Yeah, time right. management. So don't get so afraid. You have to decide if it's a lost cause. If it's not, then get organized, because you can organize yourself out of just about anything. You know, I hate to say this cliche, I'm going to say it.
Right.
You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so she's right. That's what Jill was getting at. Take it column by column, and use, please, I'm begging you, use YouTube. There are tremendous resources on YouTube about mail merges and how to use a spreadsheet and how to move stuff around and get really, really proficient at seeing the data differently and just take off little baby steps and take little bites all the way through.
Do you know where I see people failing the most?
Go ahead.
And it's not that they're afraid of it or anything. They just want to rush through it and get to the end.
It's the slack organization and lack of planning.
I see people totally agree. Oh, this just takes too much time. Yeah. It's just not going to work. No, you got to put the time in.
Yep.
And once you get it, I mean, come on, think about it. Well, think of the example I just described. You download this huge data set where you know what? You're tearing up because it's just overwhelming,
yeah.
Right? But after 10, you're like, I got this. Yes, no, yes, move this here, now I'm ready to do my thing. That's it. It's like everything. Think about getting
like
behind
everything.
The wheel of a car.
It's like everything.
Do you remember, even like my current car right now, which I still don't understand what it all does, but let me tell you about how funny this is. Well, or even flying a plane is another one, but getting my current car... When I first drove my car from the dealership, I only drove it forward. I never had to pack up. So this is funny.
Spaceship car you have.
Okay, so here's what I think. The guy drove me around. I'm like, this is great. Then I get in the driver's seat. I'm only going forward. I decide to buy the car. We're there for how long? It's dark out. I get in the car now, and I'm getting ready to leave. And the way they had parked it, I needed to back up. I did not know how to back up my car.
Yeah.
So I remember going, uh-oh.
I can't say that I condone this kind of thing at all. Like, just every car on the planet.
There was none of this.
It's very clear which gear you're in, and for whatever reason, the manufacturer of this car decided that they're going to change the rule on that.
Anyway, I love my car, but the point is... If for, you know, the beginning of it, I didn't know how to back up my car. Now I do. I just get in, whoop, I know what I'm doing. We got this. It's easy.
So now you've decided that data, it's worth it for you.
Yep.
You know, and maybe you've even gotten to the point or you have got a partner like Jill did and said. And now you're chugging along and you decide you don't like it. That's a kicker for me.
Oh, can I answer this one?
Because some stuff, it's just not worth it. Go ahead.
Well,
there's a million ways Jill and I can make a lot of money together, and we actively pick and choose the ones that we want to be involved in, like teaching. Mm-hmm. This is not the most profitable thing Jill and I can do together. Not even close, but we both like it. Go ahead.
That's good. I was going to comment on your last data comment that, so now I explain this to you. Could I sit down... without Steven, no offense, and do a good job and download some data, price it. I could do the whole thing, yes. But you know what? Could I do it as fast as him? No. Could I do it as well as him? No. Why do I want to? You know, that's the thing. I can. So there, that's the point you get to also. At some point you realize, all right, I've gone as far as I can with this now. Do I want to keep doing it? Or do I want to have somebody else that's even better at it than me?
Yep.
And that might happen.
I have a really good friend who's very good at buying, renovating, and selling manufacturing companies, and it's crazy profitable. Crazy. I don't want any part of that.
Right.
It involves financing and hiring and letting people go and reorganizing and the EPA, and he gets rewarded for that times 90 financially. But I don't want to spend 1 week on stuff like that. Well, you've done it again. You spent another 20 minutes or so this time listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time where we cover another interesting real estate acquisition topic.
And we answer your questions posted on our online community at landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Whew. Did I do a good job explaining how to breathe through that and work through it? I think so, too. I wish I would have...
Scary topic.
Kind of wish
I
would have...
It's not scary for you because you broke it all down. You broke it all down for the show.
That's how I think.
That's how I think, too.
There you go. Well, you're pretty smart.
What scares you? I mean, like, what freaks you out?
You. Just kidding. Kids, no. What freaks me out? I can't think of one. Unknown? Natural disaster? I can't think of anything. What freaks you out?
I don't know. You know, there's a reason we have this show about data, because that's far from it. Like, you know, a schematic of, let's say, like an engineering schematic of a doorknob and it's all different layers and how it all goes together. That's how I see everything. So that kind of stuff doesn't freak me out when there's 52 steps to get to some end.
Right.
I'm very good. I'm good with that. The thing that freaks me out the most is a variable in people's responses. Just people. In dealing with people. It doesn't freak me out. I just don't like to do it.
Okay.
So that's why I have you, I guess.
That's true. Share the fun by subscribing on iTunes and YouTube. And while you're at it, please rate us there.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.